We're going to turn to Philippians chapter 3. Chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. If they can get it on the screens. Come on, let's all stand. I'll be standing for the next 30 minutes. You can stand with me for the next 30 seconds. And the word of God reads like this. Philippians 3, 12 through 16. Say amen if you have it. Not that I have already attained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on. Say press on. To take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on. Say press on. Toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for a spirit to press on. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that strengthens our walk. And I ask you that you would grow us, Lord, that you would grow us spiritually, that we can go on into maturity, Father, and continue the growth. We love you. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. While you're being seated, look at your neighbor and say, press on. Press on. Come on, tell your neighbor, press on. Press on. Tonight, I want to do more of teaching. I want to be intentional to help our church grow. Tonight, we call our service Intentional Growth. Everything that we do on Wednesdays, and on Sundays, but on Wednesdays, we're very strategic about opportunities to teach somehow for intentional growth. Our heart's desire, how many of you have been saved for a year or less? Year or less. Serving God. How many of you have come back to the Lord after a season and you've been serving God for a year or less? Okay. And how many have been saved for a long time, serving God, never left your post, serving God? Okay. So here's the thing. I want to talk to us as a church about spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is something that's vital, but when you hear that, sometimes you hear spiritual growth. Okay, so what does that mean? For a new person, it would mean, okay, well, I'm coming to church. Okay, I'm learning to pray. I'm learning to read the Bible. I'm listening to what the preacher's saying. You know, so I'm growing spiritually. Some things are changing in my life, you know, so we would equate that for spiritual growth. And some of those things are important. But the next level of spiritual growth is us allowing the Spirit of God to dwell within us, allowing the Lord to lead our lives. What I want us to look at, because see, it's impossible to have a spiritual life with a carnal mind. What does that mean? You know, we are used to thinking a certain way, doing things a certain way, living life a certain way. And so that would mean even if I know a lot of scripture, a lot of word, was raised in church. I mean, we all have different backgrounds. But that wouldn't equate for spiritual growth, because if I have a carnal mind, I am not going to have spiritual fruit in my life. Does that make sense? So what the Lord does, the Bible says, to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Romans chapter 12. It says, do not conform to the patterns and the customs and the behaviors of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind. That's the part that takes time. Would we all agree? That's the part that takes time, because we come to church and we learn to, it's a process for us all. I'm sure it's been different for us all. But in general, we come and we learn to just start listening to what the preacher's saying. We learn to maybe start dressing different, or maybe talking different, or not doing some of the things we used to do. And sometimes we don't know what the next steps are. How do I continue to grow? The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16, it says that the word of God, it says all scripture is inspired by God, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the saints may be fully equipped. Someone say fully equipped. See, the word of God transforms our thinking. It transforms our responses. It transforms the way we do life. See, I can't help what comes at me, but I'm in control of my response. I'm in control of how I react to what life throws out at me. And as a church, I want us to grow in spiritual maturity and understand what that means. I don't want to just speak spiritual terms that make no sense. We want to connect the dots and grow as a church. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote this. He said, not that I've attained all this or already been made perfect, right? Who's perfect in this place? None of us. This is the Apostle Paul talking. He said, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I press on to take hold of the plan of God for my life, the reason that Jesus saved me. Does that make sense? The Apostle Paul, here is a man of great wisdom. He wrote one-third of the New Testament. Here's a man who was zealous for the things of the world. He was killing Christians. For some of us who aren't familiar with who this man was, he was killing Christians. He was passionate about it. He was legally doing so. He was leading the pack. He was very educated. And the Lord knocked him off his high horse, the Bible says in the book of Acts, and took the blind, the scales came off his eyes, removed the blinders from his eyes so that he could see who Jesus was. He said, his name was formerly Saul. He said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And then the scales, it was like scales coming off his eyes. And he said, he responded, Lord. And he recognized that that was Jesus. And so from there, he had such a transformation, such a conversion. So here we have, fast forward, this man is writing a letter to Christians, to the church, and he's telling them, listen, press on. Press on. The reason why I want to talk about spiritual maturity in our spiritual life is it is impossible to have a spiritual life with a carnal mind. I want to repeat things so that we really grasp it in our hearts. Because it's so easy to know things, but there's a breakdown in our lifestyle, so there's no real victory. Does that make sense? We can know scriptures and quote them backwards, right? We can know so many things, but if we're not applying it to our life, it's hard to find that true victory. And I want us to be a church of victory. I know we come in with heavy hearts. I remember for me, when I got saved, my mind was so twisted is the best way to put it. My heart had been through so many things. And for me, it took a long time because I went home and the atmosphere of my home would penetrate the atmosphere of my mind fresh out of church. And I would get pulled into the anger and the distractions and all the things going on around me. And it's very difficult in the beginning years. But over time, as we begin to learn the word, then we're able to start having personal victory. Somebody say personal victory. We're real people with real problems with real victory. The new slogan. Come on, real victory. I want to see our families have victory. And that's what the Lord desires for us all. And, you know, I think that what we can do is so many times, you know, when we become a Christian, then we go out into the world, it's so easy to start judging and casting, you know, stones almost that if everybody else changed, then my Christian walk could be easier. Then it could be a lot, you know, it would go a lot smoother. But the Bible talks very simply about taking the plank out of, you know, we deal with the speck in our brother's eye and we don't take the plank out of our own. And I just want us to take personal responsibility for growth and change. Because it's so easy to say, well, if they got it right at home, then I could serve God wholeheartedly. If my coworkers didn't cuss and talk that way, then I could serve God wholeheartedly. If it wasn't for them, that, and they, right? So I want us to stop with our excuses because I want to encourage you that God's called you. God loves you. He has a plan for you. And it's not all of them. Don't give everything so much power. There's power in the word of God. What does the Bible say? All scripture is God-breathed, is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. It also tells us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So let's take personal responsibility to position ourselves in our personal relationship with the Lord for growth. So next steps. Amen. Someone say next steps. Someone say press on. So what is spiritual growth? When you think about that, what is spiritual growth? Spiritual growth is a choice and it's a necessity to deepen or to make stronger our relationship with God. It's making Jesus our Lord and Savior, right? Now, when we first get saved, the Bible says in Romans 10:9, it says, if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that he is Lord, then you shall be saved. That's the beginning. It's a heart attitude. I believe that you are the Son of God, And from that point, regeneration starts. The born again process, it starts. But there's a process. We talk a lot about the process of sanctification, the process of change. Now that process takes time. And I want us to all be patient with ourselves and with each other in that process. Now, in order to really have a spirit-filled life, we have to have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. So there is a difference. You remember the Christians in the book of Acts? If it's not familiar, it's okay. The Christians in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, it says that they were there praying and seeking. The Christians hadn't been filled with the Spirit. That's evidence there that you can be a Christian but not be filled with the Spirit. There's a very clear-cut distinction between those of us who've been baptized with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. If that's new to you, that's okay. The Lord will reveal this to you. But there's a difference in victory and in our daily walk with those of us who aren't filled with the Spirit and those of us who are. Now, the Lord wants to fill you. He wants to fill you with power. He wants to fill you so you can say, Holy Spirit, help me. It's not just for the pastor to be filled with the Spirit of God. It's not just to speak in tongues, to do something before man. No. It's a very personal situation. It's about personal breakthrough. And in our church, I want us to, what happened with those people there in the book of Acts, they were seeking out God. They were seeking out his presence. And as a church, let me just encourage you, because when it's new, it gets hard. It gets hard when you've been serving God even longer. You know why it gets harder? Because you know some things now. Because you're not going to just run off and go do something wrong. You know some things, and it's easy to get complacent the longer we've been serving God. But listen, the Spirit of God wants to live in your heart. I want to encourage you to know just how special you are, how important you are to God. He knows your name. He knows every hair on your head. He knows the words before you speak them, the thoughts before you think them. That's what it says in Psalms 139. God knows you. And the Lord wants to fill you with his Spirit so you could have victory. So that you could have victory. I really want to see us as a church grow to the next level. So it's going to take us submitting to the Lordship of Jesus and submitting to the Holy Spirit. And you know, it comes from us just really seeking after him and just saying, Holy Spirit, fill me. Stir me up. I got filled with the Spirit. I remember my first year of Christianity. Filled. I wasn't quite sure. It was new to me. Everything about it was completely different. I was 18 years old, never, ever raised in the church, didn't know. So it was completely different. It took time. But my point in this is you can be filled at one season, passionate, stirring up the gift of God, fanning into flame the gifts God's put inside of you. And then you can dwindle out. The fire can dwindle. How does that happen? Because the Holy Spirit will tell us to do something. Go speak to that person. Give hope. Oh, don't do that. Don't say that, right? The Spirit's guiding us from the inside. It's kind of like you almost feel it in your gut. You know that the Lord is dealing with you, but the more we reject what he's saying, we suppress the presence of God, the lesser we feel his presence, the lesser we feel the conviction, the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And so church, listen, if you don't have the Spirit on the inside, or if you've suppressed him, and that's okay, because I've done that too in the past, but there's no life like a life that's led by the Spirit of God. There is nothing like it. He gives you wisdom and insight and intuition. He knows. I was sharing with my sister yesterday, pray before you look for your apartment. Pray, because the Lord knows if your neighbors are going to be caught up in some things your kids don't need to be around. The Lord knows where you need to be, so pray. The Lord gives you insight and wisdom, and he begins to show you, even in making decisions. It's like the Spirit of God brings scripture, and he begins to direct our lives. And that's the difference. He's our counselor. We don't always have to go to people. Not that God doesn't put people in our lives that are Spirit-filled, but that's the difference, because he just begins to direct our heart and give us wisdom and insight. And listen, as a church, I know where we're at, and I want to encourage you to stir it up, to really stir it up, you know, to know that it matters, to know that it's a difference to have the Spirit and to not, and to know that he wants to fill you. You know, I remember when I first got saved, I would spend nights, my family was in chaos and disarray, put it that way, broken, all kinds of things, but I would spend nights praying. I would spend nights praying. praying, seeking the face of God. I used to have a foul mouth. I'd cuss like they say, like a sailor. I mean, I did all kinds of drugs as a teenager. I was locked up constantly my entire teenage life. And every time I got locked up, I'd hear the gospel and my mind was sober. But I would come, I came to church, and when I came for real. Like some of you, I came and I was just like, I'm open. God, I'm open. And I would come to every single service and some because I wanted God. I had tasted violence and defeat and darkness, and I wanted no more. I knew that there was a God. He called me. He summons me. But I had to seek him. I had to seek him. See, I wasn't looking for limelight or anything. It's not like I had any great gifts. I just wanted God. I just wanted my mind right. I just wanted peace in my heart, peace in my household. I just wanted to see my family saved. None of them were saved. None of them. And so with that, I would pray. I would just pray. I would turn on worship music. I would sing the songs that I was learning in church, and I would just seek God. And some of us, we got to get back to that desperate place. Do you know what that feels like? Maybe the night you first said the prayer, Jesus, come into my heart, I believe. Do you remember what that felt like, that fire in your spirit? And just to seek God in prayer, not with issues and problems bombarding the throne as much as, God, I want you. God, I need you. Lord, make yourself real to me. God, I remember I sometimes wouldn't even have words, just groans. My spirit would just groan because it was so much pain in my heart. And I know a lot of us have a lot of that inside of ourselves today. I know that a lot of us have been through so many things. Our hearts are so heavy. And I want you to know that there is more to this. We don't just come to church. We are the church. We are the church of the living God. The same resurrection power that raised our Lord from the cross, from the dead, is alive within us. Oh, that's real. But it takes a mind that is starting to be transformed with the spirit inside of us to begin to even understand the scriptures, even understand it to a greater capacity. So listen, I want to encourage you. When we have the prayer meetings, come. We have all-night prayer. When you get invited out, I'll be honest with you. I've invited so many women. Let's just get together. Come on, let's just pray. And they're not available. They don't come out. And I'm like, come on, let's just get in the fire of God. Let's just pray. And they don't come. And, they choose not to come out. When somebody that's spirit-filled, I'm your pastor's wife, but it's okay. I want you to know, I want you to have personal victory. So when you get an opportunity to be at these altars where the fire of God is, when you get an opportunity to be around spirit-filled people, come to a prayer meeting, put yourself in that place. Allow God to do a deeper thing. Just say, I know I need more of God. Invite someone over to your house that's spirit-filled from the church. That's where it comes from. And all of a sudden, a lot of us, before we're even spirit-filled, we recognize there's something inside my spirit. The first thing I wanted to do, I started recognizing my gift without even knowing how to label it, is that God had called me to encourage and preach his gospel. Not necessarily microphone preach. Not necessarily limelight preach. But God had called me. I just knew too many people that were perishing and going to hell. My friends. And so I begin to identify that. But once the Spirit of God filled me, I remember there was so much brokenness. It wasn't a big lofty thing. Man, I was so broken and God was healing me deeply. And I would break every time I came to church out of joy because victory was happening because, chains and shackles were coming off. That was my personal experience. But God has an experience for all of us, for all of you, right? He wants you to know that there's more to you. Sometimes we think this is it. I've been through enough battles. I've seen enough things. I've done, this or I've done that. And, this is it. I'm content. Life is good. There's more to you. There's a calling upon your life that's beautiful. He doesn't call you to do anything that he doesn't equip you to do. What does the Bible say? 2 Timothy 3:17. It says, all scripture, in 16, it says, all scripture is God-inspired, tells us what it's good for, and then in 17, it says, so that the saints of God may be fully equipped for the work. God has got your back. God has got your back. I want to encourage our church, listen, we got to press on. It's not just an emotional high that we go through. It's beyond that. Because we serve God from our hearts. From our hearts. The Lord wants to take our lives and he just does so many beautiful things. And that's why I want to see our church grow going forward. There's marks of maturity, okay? We'll never grow unless we want to grow. We have to have a desire to grow. A desire is a want, a longing for. Desires are revealed by our actions. Hello, somebody. Apostle Paul talked about how he's striving toward that which he's been called or that Jesus took hold of his life for. Striving is a determined motivation or a determined and motivated. See, growth is development or improvement toward a goal called maturity. Pastor said it in his prayer. You know, it's like this. You know, when we first come to the Lord, we're young in the Lord. We're young in the Lord. You know, it's like a child when we have our babies. They're young. They don't know much. We teach them. We feed them. We bathe them. We clothe them. We do everything for our brand new babies. The same thing in the Lord. The Holy Spirit and the church and different ones are just loving you and feeding you and taking good care of you and encouraging your life. And then you start to get a little bit older in things. And just like in life, the same as in Christianity. The hope is that over time, you learn to feed yourself, right? Over time, you go from milk to soft foods to solid foods. And that we begin to not only, you know, begin to scoot, but then we begin to stand up, we begin to crawl, we begin to walk, and then we begin to run. It's a process. I remember I wanted to get it all in one night. I remember feeling like I had so much fire inside of me. I wanted to do great things for God, but I wasn't patient with myself. And that was part of my defeat, my self-defeat at times. Because I went through some things. For me, it wasn't just pretty. I didn't just get saved, get filled with the Holy Spirit, and life was just perfect. It was difficult. It was really difficult. The Lord began to work that word in my mind and renew the way I thought and give me mental toughness when I was mentally fatigued because there was real battles. My entire family came against the fact that I was saved. For what reason? None. My whole family. So, you know, we all face battles. And I was a young person. I was 18 years old in my mother's house. So listen, no matter what, the Word of God is able to train us and teach us and begin to expand us so that we can grow forward. Growth is important. We have to grow. We have to desire more. I think that's the thing, because if you're new to church, it's like, okay, what else is there to this? Okay, they're telling me to read. They're telling me to pray. What else is there to this? So that's where we're trying to give you some encouragement tonight. Amen? So we can't have spiritual fruit with the carnal mind. Why is it so important to continue growing? Why? Well, we can all just, you know, feel like, well, I want more, right? Wouldn't you agree? I want more. I want to see my family saved. But then after they get saved, I want to see them set free. After they're set free, I want to see them filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to see them using their gifts. I want to see them building the kingdom of God because it's all about the kingdom, right? There's reasons to grow and to keep maturing. It's so easy, our carnal nature or our human way, we kind of stay, you know, on the bank, the shore, instead of going into the deep waters. We kind of just stay at a place of security. And what ends up happening is we think, okay, I've grown this far. Okay, I'm good. But if you're not constantly growing, anything that's not growing is dying. So we're not going forward, we're regressing. But sometimes we're just standing still. We don't even realize the enemy's hitting us left and right. And our minds are just full of all kinds of negativity and wrong thinking, and we're just stuck. And we're not growing forward. We're not going anywhere. But listen, you can break free. We can break free. I think what's important for us to know, and just another thing, intentional growth, I want to encourage you, bring your pen. Take notes in your phone. Because these are the things, if you are anything like me, I was terrible in school, but when I got saved, I just wanted to learn. I just wanted to know the word. I wanted to break it down. I wanted to just grow in the things of God. So you have something to go back and listen to. You can listen to the podcast, but you have something to go back and read and grow through. Amen? So why is it so important? Because as individuals grow and mature, the church grows and matures. The household grows and matures. The marriage grows and matures. The family grows and matures. See, but it's up to me. Tell yourself, say it's up to me. It's up to me. It's up to us to make our decisions that we don't allow ourselves to be caught up. The rest of the world loves to blame. The reason why I have no success and I got nowhere is because all of you, right? That's how the world is. It's always like it's not me, it's you. Listen, let's take responsibility, because as we grow, you're going to experience the most beautiful days. I love the scripture where the Bible says the latter shall be greater. Some of us have been through tough things, tough, difficult things. If you were to take the mic, we would all be like, wow, God is good. Come on. And there is more to you. I just feel that some of us have been so oppressed. You know, the enemy has taken, he's discouraged us, taken our courage and done so many things to our hearts. There's more to you. All the things that the enemy stole, the Lord can turn it around for the good. All those things. All the time you think is lost, God can give you back that time. What could take you 10 years to build can take God one moment to restore. Come on, somebody. So I want to encourage your life. There's more to you. There's much more. We have to take responsibility. The Bible talks real briefly, and I'm going to be coming to close in just about five, just give me 5 minutes. But the Bible talks about how we should, in the book of Hebrews, it talks about how we should, when we're running a race, what happened? It says that, you know, you were running well. Let me read it. It's in Hebrews chapter 12. I didn't write it on my paper. That's okay. Hebrews chapter 12. He's simply saying, he's saying, you know, you got to put aside the weights and the sin that so easily entangles you, okay? What happens is we may not be in sin in our spiritual walk, but there's weights and things that are easily entangling our walk. The weights. And I want to encourage us, sometimes what can that be? I've heard some things seem good, but is God in it, right? I've heard a lot of things, you know, said. I mean, sometimes it's like, you know, a weight can be a lot of things. A weight can be a job that just takes you away from church. I mean, that's right. I'm not being all, you know, religious about it. Think about it. We're battling, we're growing, we're going through things, and then, you know, we get so stressed out and we allow other things to occupy us and our hearts going, you know, it's different when we have seasons where we have to do certain things in life. But when things begin to pull us out of the house of God and pull us out of the ministry that he put us in, it begins to affect us, doesn't it? Doesn't it begin to affect us sometimes? If you don't come to church for a month, are you going to still have the same joy? I personally wouldn't. I'm a Christian that's on fire for God, but I would struggle as well. But there's a lot of different stumbling blocks. Sometimes it could be our friends. The Bible talks about how bad character corrupts good company. Bad company corrupts good character, right? 1 Corinthians 15:33. Listen, we have to consider, Lord, Holy Spirit, show me, is there any stumbling blocks in my life? Because it's not just a sin. Sometimes we can call out those things. Okay, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to get high. I'm not going to, you know. But sometimes there's also weights in the way. Sometimes our conversation goes south and it doesn't need to. You know, if we start talking and just talking garbage, the Bible talks about how we should speak. It even talks against coarse joking. Sometimes guys and girls, ladies, sometimes the ladies, you can talk. I've heard women in church use very vulgar terms to describe different things, and I'm just like, Christian women. And then I have to, you know, but that's the world. That's how the world does things. It takes time to learn. It takes time to, you know, kind of change some of that and even recognize. I told someone and they were like, I didn't even know. Wow. And so, you know, it takes time, but those conversations sometimes can be a stumbling block. We have to just ask the Holy Spirit, whatever stumbling blocks are in the way, help me, God, help me to remove them. Help me to remove myself from those situations so that I'm not easily entangled. Amen? So we have to take responsibility. Continual maintenance of where we're at and how we're growing is key. Continual maintenance. Because what happens is we can end up with a spirit of indifference. You know, when you're trying to grow and you're trying to do something for God and you know, you feel like you've come to, you know, okay, I've done so much and God's not moving. You know, when we're younger in the Lord or when we're really desperate, what it can end up happening, if God doesn't move on our timetable, we can get a spirit of indifference, even apathy. What's apathy, right? Empathy is when we can, I feel your pain. We're supposed to reach the loss, feel the pain of the loss. But apathy is like, man, bro, you still ain't got it together. What's wrong with you? An attitude of apathy, like, you know, just all of a sudden we're looking down on people that need what we got, that need the hope that we got. But because we're disappointed in our personal walk, our whole viewpoint changes. We change with the world around us. And listen, as a church, I got to encourage us. It's a process. It's a process to grow. It's a process to change. It's a process to just allow the Lord to teach us what he wants to teach us. It's a process. And closing with this, if we can all stand, I don't really want to, we don't have, you can come up, Brother Alec. But if we can all stand, there's a simple word that I want to share in the book of James, just very simple. The Bible says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forget what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. And with that, I just want us to close our eyes and just ask God, Holy Spirit, search me out. I want to not only hear your word, but God, help me to trust your word and to be a doer of your word. If looking into your word is just like me looking into the mirror and walking away and forgetting what I look like, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to look into your word, Father. And I want to see how you can heal me or change me or grow me, God, because I don't want to do this on my own. If the Lord ministered to you, I want you to just respond where you're at. See, because there's more to you. And some of us have been ready to give up because things aren't happening on our timetable.